Well, I'll tell you, the study of Peter is an awesome, awesome study, Barbara, and I'm so glad we're doing it. It's been a real blessing to me personally.
It really has, and the first 2 hours we have spent really in the history of Peter's life. But now, Darren, we're going to get into the real depth, meaty part of Peter's life on this earth, and that's the writing of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. I'll tell you what, this man is a multifaceted man, but he has totally changed from maybe an egotistical, double-minded man to one who is centered in Jesus' suffering and his blood and also the love for the brothers and sisters.
Well, like a lot of us, we had a little flesh hanging on.
And, we do.
God dealt with that, but I think we better pray before we go on. Mm-hmm. Father God, thank you for this marvelous Apostle Peter and for the recording of his journey with you as you refined his life and you brought him from a very fleshly orientation to a very godly man, sanctified, holy. Today we thank you that we're going to rightly divide. We're saying that ahead of time. We're going to rightly divide the word of truth in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I would like, though, to slip back before we get into 1 Peter, the book right after Hebrews, but go back into Acts, and I'll tell you, when Peter found Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit found him, and he was baptized in the Spirit, I mean, he started preaching up a storm.
Well, he did. And the first day resulted in 3,000 being saved. The second sermon that he preached resulted in 5,000. Even during great persecution, he was preaching the word and people were being saved.
Well, you can take Peter before Pentecost and Peter after Pentecost. And you know, Barbara, I think this is a marvelous example of why we need the baptism of Holy Spirit.
I agree.
There are so many Christians that are living way, way, way below their privileges as Christians, because they haven't yet tapped into the fullness of the power of the Spirit of God, of Holy Spirit. Folks, I'm just going to suggest that you get over and read the first two or three chapters of the book of Acts, and you'll find out when the power came on the church, it had to come on the people. The church is made up of people. And I'll tell you, when Peter started preaching, he took his stand with the 11, raising his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what is spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour out my spirit upon all mankind." And that's a tangible anointing, folks, I got to tell you. And then he went on to stick it right in their face in verse 22 of chapter 2 of Acts. "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know." Mm. I mean, he was saying, now this is the man you crucified. Yeah. Well, Peter changed from Peter the chicken and Peter the one that denied Jesus Christ. Through this mighty transformation, he became an awesome apostle, and we're going to talk about that today.
We really are. And Paul at one point was berating him because he was double-minded in his affections towards the circumcised rather than the uncircumcised. But we see here, Darren, that his letters were written to the Romans in the Roman Empire. And I get that from a heading by Dr. Zodiades. And Peter's letters here were written from Pliny, governor of Bithynia, to the Roman Empire. And he wrote these letters to the Gentiles, and he was encouraging them with love. Boy, how would you like to have names like that nowadays? I mean, we can't even pronounce
I would not take Bob or Sam or something short.
Oh, so I'd like to just start right away and just read this first part of 1 Peter 1. It's such a great chapter. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This is all one verse, basically. And Peter is pumped up with God's salvation and the baptism of Holy Spirit here in this letter.
Well, also it goes on to say in verse 7 that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, in other words, gold is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I want to say this to you, friends. You need to ask God to give you a revelation of Jesus Christ, a revelation of Holy Spirit. And you see, we're not without excuse. Now, these men went through it personally, but we have their stories. We have their recording of what was going on. And Peter was ministering here by letter to people that had been under great persecution.
Yes.
Some of the Christians had been killed. They'd been tortured. They'd been harassed. They'd been tormented. And he's saying, hang on, folks. It's worth it. He's
yes.
really saying that. But you know, if you go back in Matthew, Peter is the one that challenged Jesus when Jesus, right after he'd said, Peter, now you've been given a great revelation. I am the Christ, and I will now give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19, he says, what you bind is bound, what you loose is loosed. And right after that, Jesus was telling him, but I'm going to be crucified. And Peter said, oh, no, Lord, forbid it. And Jesus spoke directly to him. He didn't say it. He spoke to the Spirit. He spoke to Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan.
Well, we said that, though, in our first hour, that it wasn't really Peter he was
That's
talking
right.
to. It was the Spirit. It was the Spirit in Peter.
But see, Peter wanted, you know, the disciples were hoping that Jesus would set up an earthly kingdom.
Yes, that's right.
But Jesus kept saying, no, it's not an earthly kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And that's what we're talking about here in 1 Peter.
Well, and you were just referring to the 7th verse. And in the 6th verse, it says, and in this greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. The trials, Darren, are the proof of our faith. It says that in verse 7 that you just read. The trials are the proof of our faith, whether we're steadfast or whether we fall away. And here, these people in Bithynia especially, they were under a vicious ruler. And after Peter writes these letters, they are being executed for being Christians, not breaking the law. They didn't break the law at all there, but for being Christians, they were being executed. So Peter here is really trying to encourage him in the faith. Hold on. The proof of your distress here in the trials, the faith is the proof here. So,
well, you read verse 2, may grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. And one of the definitions of grace is enablement. It's something that God gives you so that you can make it through a trial. It's not just favor. It's not just something lighthearted. But it's an enablement. May enablement be yours in fullest measure.
Yes.
And I believe we need to look at that because we are persecuted, maybe very subtly, as Christians today. In fact, I know where I go in the mornings and I have a cup of coffee and I read my Bible. There are people in there that avoid me because they've seen my Bible and they've heard that I'm a Christian broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a subtle form of persecution or abandonment or
Rejection.
Yes.
And rejection is terrible.
Or it's a subtle form of being reviled, which means to be abused.
Uh-huh.
Well, Jesus was reviled on the cross, but he didn't revile back. You know, he didn't abuse them. He could have got into a spitting contest with these people, so to speak, and, you know, putting names out there and labels out there, but he didn't do that.
No. And another thing we see in Peter here right away, Darren, is this maturity. This maturity in the faith, this process of sanctification that we talk about in the New Testament, Peter is really an example of a man who has been, like you said, oh Lord, God forbid that you go and die and leave us. And he was so immature during those times that in the Gospels. And here he is bringing forth some real holiness teaching. And holiness is separating yourself from the world. It is deciding, I am going to kill this flesh so that my spirit can gain this sanctification here that God is talking about.
Well, and he gives a key in verse 13 of chapter 1. He
says,
gird your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Now, you could take and preach a lot of sermons, do a lot of studying on that one verse. He's saying that your hope is going to be, it's going to be really fixed and it's going to be finalized as your enablement or grace is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
See, he's got to be revealed to each and every one of us, Jesus does, in order for this to take place in our spirits, Darren.
And you know, I think that's an ongoing revelation.
Mm-hmm.
It's something where we realize it's one of these deals, one of the ahs, you say, Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, is that the way it works? Mm-hmm. And I believe that what we're pushing you to do in this ministry called Darren Live is to make Jesus Christ alive in your heart so you know Jesus. You then work from a revelation, not from an experience, so to speak.
Yes.
All of us have to get born again, and that's an experience, but we need to realize that we're changed and that Jesus that makes the gospel come alive for us, and the whole reason for the Old Testament and the New Testament, he has to be ours by revelation.
That's right.
And that changes a person.
Well, and we want to tell those of you who are listening that to get rid of language like I'm a sinner, I'm stupid, I'm dumb, this is a process where you're gaining holiness through Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ, through the word that you're reading, and you're gaining a level of spirituality here that you're never going to go back to I'm just a wretched old sinner. You're not ever going to go back there again. You are growing now. It's a process like a baby to an adult, Darren. They never go back to the times of goo goo gaga. They continue to grow and to mature into adults so that they can be responsible. And here's the same way in our spiritual lives.
Now, the reason I highly respect what you just said is in verse 18 of 1 Peter 1. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of the Lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ.
Yes.
See, we need to realize what we were redeemed with, what a high price was paid for us. Therefore, that would tell us how precious we are.
That's right. And like in verse 15, it says, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. He's saying, I want you to clean out your house. I want you to begin to structure your life as one who is called a Christian. I don't want you any longer serving the devil in any part of your life. I don't care what habits you have. You're now going to start throwing out everything that was part of that kingdom of darkness. And, well, oh, this is so good coming from Peter. Now, this is the apostle, Darren, it was so hard for Jesus to talk to in the end there. You know, in John 21, he was saying, oh, Lord, you know that I phileo you, that I brotherly love you. And Jesus was saying, Peter, do you agape, do you unconditionally love me? And Peter still was going through a real double-mindedness there in the last part of John. And here we see an entirely different man.
But you know that baptism of the Spirit.
Oh, yeah, you keep going back to that, and it's absolutely the foundation of
what
he's doing.
And you see in verse 23 of chapter 1, it says, for you have been, now listen to this, this is the essence. You've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. And that means it won't go away. It can't be denied. It can't be destroyed. You've been born again by this imperishable seed. That is, through the living and abiding word of God.
Oh,
but the word of the Lord abides forever, and this is the word which was preached to you. Now, folks, let me tell you, your salvation is so precious because God paid such a high price for it. He paid for it with his life. Jesus paid for it with his life. And yet, death could not conquer him. His body didn't decay, and guess what? In 3 days, he was resurrected by the very power of the Father. And we need to realize how powerful that is. We are different kind of human beings here because we've been born again by an imperishable seed that will never go away.
Mm.
So that is one reason why we can understand eternal life.
Yes.
What did I get born again into? I got born out of darkness that had death at the end of the string, so to speak. And now we have life. We have eternal life. We will never go away. The real man of the heart, the hidden man of the heart, that's the real me. And the hidden man of the heart in you, Barbara, is the real you, and that will never die. It will never go away. It will live forever with Jesus.
Oh, that's right. It really will. Now, here Peter is saying, since you are purifying your souls with sincerity that God has given you through the Holy Spirit, he's saying here, but you're purifying, that means you have something to do with your walk with Christ. Of course, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is powerful. Of course, we all have to be saved first. We all have to be born again before we begin this journey. None of you can go on this journey without being born again. And many of you will never know the change of a heart in a life except through the baptism of Holy Spirit. We are not saying that you can't get to heaven without the baptism baptism. But I'll tell you what, this life of a sanctified spirit and soul and body is only going to come through that power of Holy Spirit that you have through his baptism. But now Peter is beginning to say, now as I'm changing inside, I'm going to reach outside to the brethren. And Darren, love, the word love here is spoken of 9 times. In this first book, Peter is a man who is in love not only with Jesus Christ, but now with his brothers and sisters. And he's reaching out to the brothers here in 1 Peter, to the church. And in verse 23 of chapter 1, he says, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable," just like you were saying, Darren, "but imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever." He's saying here, the word is what's going to keep you growing straight as an arrow. It's
now,
the word.
Also, if you're tempted to be a tree hugger or worship nature, right here it says, you know, the grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of God abides forever.
Mm.
We got to realize and step ourselves up here in our minds that we are of a higher nature.
Yes.
When you're born again, you have eternal life as your nature. That's your basic nature. And you're also righteous, which means you're of the life force of God. You're like God because now you become his child. You left the family of the devil, which was darkness, and the devil was your spiritual father when you're in darkness. You turned your back on him and you came over to the kingdom of light, to the Father of light.
Mm-hmm.
You came from death to life. That's born again. You're changed. You move. You change kingdoms. You come out of darkness and into life.
And that's what this second chapter is talking all about, Darren. It's saying putting aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisy. Now that's what he was a guy who was a hypocrite. Paul even talked about it in Galatians, and envy and all slander. Now Peter's experienced every one of these adjectives that he's talking about. And he says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it, by the word, you may grow in respect to salvation. He's talking about the word here, and he's saying, people, you got to get into the word. And then he talks about a spiritual priesthood here, that they only knew of one priest in all of Israel in the Old Testament was spoken of as a priest who could go into the Holy of Holies. Now he's talking about all of us being a part of a royal priesthood, Darren. This is unthought of in the Old Testament, but this is a new thing. This is a new covenant. He says here in 1 Peter 2:5, "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed." That one scripture there is found maybe 8 or 9 times in the Word of God.
You know, one of the exciting things here is it talks obviously about Jesus being the cornerstone,
mm-hmm.
but it used to be that everything happened at the temple.
Yes,
had to go
right.
to temple. Okay, the Jews would say, "Have you been to temple?" And we Protestants would say, "Well, have you been to church?" But here it's saying now you're going to be living stones in this new spiritual temple.
Mm,
not only that, you're going to be a part of the priesthood. Wow, he's changing two things there, the building
the
priesthood. And we're a part of both. And I've said to people, you know, that do you know have God's address? Well, if you're a Christian, your address is God's address.
That's
he
right.
lives in you. Your body is temple of Holy Spirit. What a radical change. No wonder they had a hard time explaining this, and no wonder they were persecuted.
Remember when the sheet was brought down in Acts 10 and there was a vision? God gave Peter a vision and he said, "Now kill and eat." And it had every animal on this sheet and even including the unclean in the Old Testament. And Peter says, "Oh no, Lord, I have never eaten anything unclean." So he had lived probably a pretty good religious Jewish life. Growing up, no, God, I'd never eaten anything impure. But here he's saying, let's do away with some of the things in the old covenant, which we were very loyal to, and let's go on to a new covenant. He's saying here, don't stumble over that cornerstone. Don't stumble over that that stone that is the cornerstone of this foundation. And in verse 8, it says, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Now that's to those who are disobedient to the word. in this last part of verse 8, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. We don't want you stumbling over Jesus Christ, this cornerstone.
Now, I believe this. Before God came on the scene in terms of man, you could be really lost as a human being and as a culture or as a nation of people. But it says that God has chosen us. You're a chosen race.
Oh, praise God.
You have a God. Okay, the people outside of the kingdom of God don't have a God that's alive. Our God walks among us. He has eyes that work, hands that move. I mean, we are made in His image and likeness. And our hands, like right now, I'm flexing my hands. I'm making a fist with my left hand, and I'm pointing with my right hand. Okay, my eyes are working. I can hear. God is the same way. And of course, we could turn it around. We think, well, God's like us. No, we're like God. Let's get it in the right priority here.
That's right.
Now, we're chosen by Him. And in the Old Testament, He came down, and He chose the Hebrew race to be His family.
Hallelujah. That's so exciting, Darren, to know that I am of a royal priesthood. I'm a chosen generation. I am with people that love God. I don't believe we should ever feel really lonely, because we are part of a body who is being raised up. This body is being raised up whose head is Jesus Christ. It says here, I love this part. We grew up with this song, you know, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people who should show forth the praises of Him who has brought us out of darkness into a light, an everlasting light. And we've sung that song probably most of my life. I've sung that song. We know, and I'll tell you, when you're down, if Satan is putting you down and you're depressed during the day, go to 1 Peter 2:9 and read that to yourself. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people for God's own possession, and I proclaim the excellencies of God who's called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. Read that to yourself. Oh, that's so good, Darren.
And, you really like that,
and Colossians 1:13 says, for He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son.
Okay, read Colossians 2, 9, and 10 while you're there.
Colossians 2, 9, and 10. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority.
Okay, Hallelujah. Now that implies that we've died to sin. Now, I want to take a scripture here. It's, we'll move on down to 1 Peter 2:24. And actually, in verse 22 and 23, it says, and while being reviled, meaning while He was on the cross, He did not revile in turn. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously, meaning the Father.
Yes.
And speaking again of Jesus, and He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Now, that's a real key concept. We need to realize we're dead to sin once we come over here to the kingdom of light, and God has taken us out of sin and darkness and away from the devil. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed.
That's right.
Now, when you need healing, I'm going to suggest this to you. You need to get confessed up. Now, you say, what does that mean? I'm not a Catholic. I don't go to confession. But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to stop before you ask Him for His miraculous healing power in your body. And before you take communion, you ought to say, Father God, is there any sin in my life? Do a checkup. If there is, go to 1 John 1:9, confess that sin, get it taken care of, let Him forgive you so there's nothing between you and Him. It says, die to sin and live to righteousness.
Yes.
Now, that's the process you need to follow. And I'd also recommend, I'll tell you, we do it at our house. If we have a challenge in our physical bodies, and occasionally we do have, or if we have a problem, we take communion. We put the bread and the cup out there. We pray over it. We read out of Luke, you know, the communion scriptures. Mm-hmm. And then we say to ourselves and maybe to each other, and I've said it to you, Barb, is there any sin in your life? I mean, we need to check on ourselves and individually, personally, and check on each other. Say, all right, there's no sin. There's no sin here to be dealt with. So we have died to sin, and we're now living to righteousness. Now we can say, all right, Jesus, we want to take this part of this verse For by your wounds we were healed. Now, if we were healed, we want to keep that healing today.
Yes.
We want to have it become vital today.
Yes, and Peter broadens this verse here. I love this verse. You have really made me fall in love with 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Now, Darren, a great spiritual transaction took place here on the cross in Jesus' body. Not only was he beaten physically, he took on the sin of the world that Adam brought the world into when he gave into Satan. And that sin that was committed in the Garden of Eden, Jesus took that in his body, plus all the sins of humanity in his body on the cross.
Okay, now,
he became the curse.
Let's put it real straight, which a lot of people don't want to admit. If there is sickness, there is sin hanging around somewhere. There is a connection between sickness and sin.
Well, didn't Jesus say when he healed some people, he says, your sins have been forgiven you, get up and walk.
Go and sin no more.
Yes,
okay.
That kind of thing, yes.
Now, I say this to people, well, no, is there some sin that you've committed? If there is, let's don't play games now. It's serious. You need some healing in your body. I don't know what it is. God hasn't told me, but maybe you know. So, you know, investigate yourself. Bring yourself to accountability, mm-hmm. All right, and deal with it. If there's sin, confess it. Confess it. Say to God, yes, I have sinned. Please forgive me. Or if there is an atmosphere of sin around, and because of that atmosphere of sin and a spirit of sin, some kind of spirit, like a spirit of hate or a spirit of revenge or a spirit of unforgiveness or a curse in the family tree, I mean, let's get that taken care of.
Yes.
So that you can die to that thing and then live to righteousness and then receive your healing. You know, just the other day you needed some healing in your body. We went through that very thing.
Yes.
We sat down and I even said to you, no, Barb, we have to do what we teach. And we sat there at our kitchen table, we took communion, and we dealt with the challenge that was against your body.
That's
we
right.
said, it will not stay, and we are going to claim the healing here now because we've died to that thing. We're living to righteousness, and we're going to experience healing.
That's right.
Now,
and
did you experience healing?
Yes, I did. And Jesus is our doctor.
Yes.
Jesus. We had the choice whether to go to a doctor or go to Jesus, and Dr. Jesus is my doctor. Praise God. And it says here that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Hallelujah. Every day, you in some way have to die to sin and live to righteousness. Every day you have to make that choice as a born-again believer. For by his wounds you were healed. Now here he broadens it. In Isaiah 53, Darren, it says, by his scourging or by the stripes on his back, you are healed. Here he says, by your wounds. And that covers every welt on his body, every hole, even the spear that went into his side. It takes care of the crown of thorns that brought a great bleeding on his head. These wounds mean every puncture point on his body. He gave it for us. And by every puncture point on Jesus' body, we were healed. He became that curse. Oh,
and you know,
I can't
sometimes
imagine.
When we're really doing a fight with the evil one and a fight with sickness, we have to realize that there were 39 stripes on Jesus. And I'm told in books written by doctors that there are 39 major categories of diseases. All diseases go in one of those categories.
Mm-hmm.
That means that Jesus Christ covered the waterfront when it comes to sickness.
Oh,
he bore those things spiritually and physically. He bore it in his spirit for you. And the torment and torture and so on, he bore that mentally and spiritually and physically for you. So in other words, if he already went through that, you don't have to go through it the second time. So you can say, this has already been paid for. It's already been experienced because by me in Jesus, and I need to take that by faith. And you
yes.
see, you're going to get pushed to the wall sooner or later, and you're going to have to come to that.
Yes.
And that's when you need to say, I'm going to die to this pain. It cannot rule and reign
Hallelujah.
Over me.
Praise
I
God.
Am in righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. He's already paid the bill, and I don't have to pay it.
Amen.
You only have to pay a bill one time.
Amen. Amen. Our body has to die. Our physical has to die. And that death is a spiritual death. I don't mean for you to take a knife and stab yourself. No, that does not mean that. But we do. And those of you who have had the flesh screaming, you know what it means to kill that flesh every day. That flesh is screaming out for its own way.
Let me say it this way. You've got to stop giving the flesh priority.
That's right.
And when we say that feelings and symptoms are liars, God's word is truth. And when you treat that as a lie, not the truth, you say the word of God is truth, and I am not going to give in to the lies of my flesh. I am going to insist on the truth of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, that's dying to sin and living to righteousness, and you will be healed.